In Kansas, Tyler Reddick completes the drive for five. That's our top story on this edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
NASCAR has held 9 different Cup Series races this year, and 5 times the same figure has emerged victorious. We're talking about Tyler Reddick from 2311 Racing. Michael Jordan celebrating in victory lane has become routine on Sunday afternoons. Let's catch the last lap from the Motor Racing Network.
Tyler Reddick jumps to the bottom of the racetrack. He's got Chase Briscoe and Denny Hamlin in tow. They're side by side, and it's Reddick to the lead.
Side by side for the final time down the back straightaway. Larson and Reddick neck and neck into the corner. Reddick drives it in deep. So does Larson.
Reddick with the lead slides up the racetrack. Larson with a crossover. The 4 fresh tires in third is Chase Briscoe. Checkered flag is in the air. Tyler Reddick wins the Advent Health 400 at Kansas Speedway. Reddick on a thrilling finish gets the win.
Frantic final laps there as they went to NASCAR overtime to settle the issue in Kansas with Tyler Reddick for the 5th time this year coming up victorious. Let's hear from that winning driver.
Just a lot happened really quick and kind of made the wrong choices there at the end of the race, but we got the caution laid and got an opportunity to redeem ourselves. All in all, it's been really great to be us, and we've made some good choices, but we've certainly had fortunes go our way in a lot of these races.
Alexis, a strange race in the sense that for 90% of the race, it was calm. There were no natural cautions. There were the 2-stage cautions. Then you get sort of this lazy spin from Cody Ware that upset what was going to be, I think, a pretty cool finish between Reddick and Denny Hamlin. And then you get this frantic 2-lap dash at the end of it. And once again, Tyler Reddick's finding a way to win.
Yeah, I mean, basically a pretty... I mean, maybe this isn't the right word, but the first one that pops into my head, kind of mundane race, you know? We always talk about Kansas as being one of the tracks that the drivers love the most, and we always know that sometimes when the drivers love it, it doesn't put on the best show for the fans, but we have seen these late race issues happen and cause these highlight reel moments at the end of these races, and this was certainly one of them. No one expected, after going basically green with, you know, the exception of the stage breaks for the entire race, for there to be this, you know, caution at the end of the race. Cody Ware has a spin, and it was right in front of Denny Hamlin, who was the leader at the time. They put the yellow flag out, and you set up an overtime finish at a place like this with restarts, and you're going to have some craziness. Kyle Larson, I thought, was going to steal another one from Toyota, which has happened at this track before. I just think it didn't work as well as he thought it would. He was able to get the lead. He went 3 wide on Denny Hamlin, pushed Denny in the middle and backwards. But Tyler Reddick, when all was said and done, yet again, he was in victory lane celebrating.
There was a lot going on. And Brad, this is happening enough now that it's not just happenstance. Tyler Reddick's having a year, and attribute it to new confidence, new skills, maybe a touch of luck thrown in there. But for the moment, he's the man.
Yeah, and look, his luck started with bad luck when they had a fuel pickup issue and his car stumbled, allowing Denny Hamlin to take the lead. But ultimately, look, Hamlin was the dominant car of the day, then Kyle Larson, when you look at terms of lap lead and things like that. But Tyler Reddick, they keep putting themselves in a position to go to victory lane, and they capitalized. And my gosh, you watch the last 2 laps of that car, you literally think on the restart, oh, okay, Reddick's out of it. As Alexis was saying, Larson's on his way to victory lane, until all of a sudden, it's almost like they get another gear that they get to grab. And here he comes, just flying through on his way to victory lane. It was one incredible drive with an incredibly fast Toyota.
Alexis, the thing about this story for me about Tyler Reddick is last year, nothing. Of course, he had side issues. He had family problems. I don't think that team was working as well. And then this year, it's miraculous. You win 5 of the first 9. I mean, there are whispers, you know, and I heard Brad on the post-race show yesterday talking about the last time this was done was a guy named Dale Earnhardt. So he's hanging in pretty good company right now.
Yeah, it's almost like a switch flipped, which, you know, from one season to the next, because you're right. I mean, obviously, you think about the first, you know, three races that he won, and you think about, okay, well, you've got a couple super speedways or drafting tracks, as people call them now. You've got a road course. Okay. You know, I think people were thinking after those three races were in the bag and he had won them that it was like, okay, well, those aren't, you know, the typical, that's not going to make up the majority of the schedule. So let's see when we get to a real racetrack, what's going to happen. And we get to Darlington and he shows out there, makes it to victory lane. Here we are at Kansas, which is a mile and a half, which makes up the majority of the schedule. Obviously, he didn't lead the most laps. It wasn't a dominating performance, if you will, but he was still there when it was said and done and got the win. So you think about, okay, well, now we have, you know, this huge difference in racetracks that he's won on, that has got to be extremely worrisome for his competitors. It would be if I was one of them.
And Brad, I know I've heard you talk about this a lot. The Toyota camp has to be thrilled. They are the dominant player. They have won 7 of the first 9 races. Of course, Tyler Reddick has 5 of those for them. It's almost like it's unfair right now. Now, yeah, Larson could have won.
Yeah. Could have, could, but he didn't.
But he didn't.
Right, right, and that's the deal. I mean, like we said, Denny led the most laps. Larson led the second highest number of laps. But this is what we need to look at with Toyota. It's really been Toyota and Ryan Blaney, and now I'll throw Kyle Larson in there because he's showing up a lot. But in the Phoenix race that Ryan Blaney won, Christopher Bell led the most laps. In the race that Chase Elliott won, Denny Hamlin led the most laps, both of those being Toyotas. So even the races where Toyota had not made it to victory lane, they were still the dominant cars that day, and they are head and shoulders above the rest. In fact, every Toyota, with the exception of Legacy Motor Club, finished on the lead lap yesterday at Kansas, and there weren't a ton of cars on the lead lap. You know, we had some get back on the lead lap by virtue of the wave around, but we were going to have all but a handful of Toyotas, and I take that back. Christopher Bell didn't finish on the lead lap, but he also got into the wall on that final restart and cut a tire down. But they are just clearly head and shoulders dominant above the rest of the field. And if you're a Toyota fan, it's pretty awesome to see.
By the way, a little bit later on, we're going to break down how the races are acting this year. There seems to be a calmness that's affected NASCAR racing. We're going to talk about that. First off, I need to give you the Toyota performance report. And as Brad alluded to a moment ago, their performance has been pretty solid all year long. Of course, they come away with the win at Kansas with Tyler Reddick finishing first. And Chase Briscoe was 3rd, 4th to Denny Hamlin. 9th again, Ty Gibbs. Ty Gibbs has been a story this year. Maybe the surprise of the season. He got the win last week. He comes back another top 10 finish. And Riley Herbst finally showed up in the scorebook in a good way, finished 14th. 20th went to C. Bell, who ran a lot better than that all day long, had problems at the very tail end of the race. John Hunter Nemechek, 22nd and 23rd to Eric Jones. That is the Toyota Performance Report, brought to you by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be a part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com.
What makes Toyota Racing Toyota Racing? It's not just how we drive, it's why we drive. Bubba Wallace drives with resilience, building himself back up with a Toyota team that never lets him stay down. Jade Avedisian drives with determination to be faster, sharper, every lap, every day. Christopher Bell drives with inspiration, because when talent meets the perfect team, you don't just win, you inspire what comes next. Toyota Racing, your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal and is so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and X to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name Z-Max for your car, big rigs, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
I'm Ryan Blaney, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
The the 30th anniversary of the Kyle Petty charity ride.
It's hard to believe that. I can't believe I'm like 39 and we've been doing this 30 years. The idea came about 2 o'clock in the morning. We were riding motorcycles to California, and we had stopped and picked up a couple of guys in Oklahoma City, and then we picked up some people in Globe, Arizona, and we were riding in. It was late at night, and it's like, oh my God, this would be so cool. We'll get people to give us 10 cents a mile. We'll ride. We'll do a bike-a-thon. And I just threw it out in the garage here. Dick Brooks rode with us that first year. Robert Yates rode with us. Cindy Sissoms rode with us. Man, we had so many people. They read about it, and they called us up and said they wanted to go on a ride, and we were like, come on down. Had 10 Hall of Famers that have ridden with us through the years. It is like a traveling show for the NASCAR Hall of Fame to go across country sometime, but it has been really good. We heard of a couple of different hospitals and a couple of different kids that were race fans, and we were thought, hey, we'll just stop and make a donation to help their families pay their bills. And that's what we did. It's all for camp now. It's all for Victory Junction.
30th anniversary of the Kyle Petty Charity Ride. Fast Talk here on PRN. Doug Rice along with Alexis Erickson and Brad Gilley. Glad to be with you. Wanted to break down an area that's kind of been interesting to me this year, and I found these little stats come up. There have been only 6 DNFs, Brad Gilley, in the last 5 races. That's the fewest in a 5-race span in the history of NASCAR Cup Series racing. What do you attribute that to, that there are so few DNFs now?
I attribute it to a car that, for the most part, has gone virtually unchanged since it came online in 2022. I get that at Bristol and at Darlington, we had a different engine and aero package, completely different than what we had had before. But now the mile and a halfs, which we've raved about since this car. Look, whenever you give something to crew chiefs, it's almost their job to ruin it, because they are going to science this out to a point where they get perfection. This wasn't perfection at the beginning, and that's why mile-and-a-half racing was so good. I feel like now it's time to throw a larger wrench into the works and make bigger changes to where they have to throw out their notebooks.
What do you think of Brad Gilley's thought process here? Let's throw something else at him, Alexis. Let's stir the pot.
Yeah, I mean, I think it seems like nothing brakes on these cars except the toe link. We were talking about that in the break. I don't know why we break so many toe links, but apparently that's something on the car that is not indestructible when everything else pretty much is. I think that has something to do with it, because you're able to hit the wall or have an incident and just, you know, basically keep on going. I like what Brad is saying about, you know, giving us something to kind of mix the pot a little bit, to give them something else to have to noodle on, because I mean, we talked about it also in the break, like, you know, when this car first came out, it was supposed to bring this parity. It was supposed to bring, and it did for the most part in the beginning. But now, as Brad said, they've scienced it out, and we've got, you know, the same front runners that we expected to have, and we have them every week. And so, you know, without giving them something else to kind of shake things up a little bit, I'm not sure we're going to see many DNFs in the future.
No, you had this golden hour there right, for a while, where all the teams had some kind of shot at winning the races. But after time, the critical mass that the big teams have, the Hendricks, the Gibbs, the Penske's, all the money, all the people that they can put
the
on this.
Factory support from the
factory support.
From the manufacturers.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The OEMs step in. They're going to get ahead of the game, and that's what we're seeing now. One of the other, and by the way, all the cars that started the race, yes, even Cody Ware, who spun at the end, all finished at Kansas. All 37 cars were running at the end. That's a testament to the fact that they're building these cars. They're fairly bulletproof. You just don't see cars blow up that much anymore. Very, very seldom happens. So they all finished. One of the other kind of amazing stats, I got this from NASCAR Insights, is this season there have been 54 total cautions. That's the fewest in this time span since 2012, when there were 48. Brad, why are there so few yellows? And this is including the yellows that come out at the end of the stages.
Well, big risk is not worth the same this year as it was for the last 12 seasons.
No more calls.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't take calls on this show.
So. I mean, look, you know, how many times are we – I've caught myself watching the end of the race go, oh, this could be big if they win. It'd be like, yeah, it'd be pretty cool, but it doesn't mean anything for the rest of their season other than they got a lot of points today. In years past, for the last 12 years prior to this year, we looked at it, man, if they get a win, they're in the playoffs. So that's where we saw a lot of big, daring moments, you know, probably with the pinnacle of those being Ross Chastain's Hail Melon at Martinsville. There is no more win in your end. So now the risk you take could also come with big challenges at the end of the day if you don't get a good finish and you wind up gaining 1 or 2 points. A 75-point day will be great if you win and win all the stages, but a 1-point day is going to be pretty devastating. They have to manage that now, unlike they had to before.
Yeah, the potential swing of, okay, well, I'm going to take, you know, I'm going to take this crazy move, or I'm going to flip the stage, or I'm going to stay out, or I'm going to do this that I would do normally, you know, in seasons past, just so that I could get that win and be in the playoffs. As Brad said, the risk isn't worth the reward in a lot of those situations, because just as well as you could win, you could lose a boatload of points, and that could be such a huge setback for you in this new chase era, this new chase format, that you're like, okay, maybe I'm going to just play it a little bit safe today.
So was this the right thing to do? Are we happy that
TBD?
Yeah.
TBD. I mean, seriously, like, who knows what is going to unfold the rest of the season? Who knows what the chase is going to look like, or what's going to happen when it comes down to actually crowning a champion? We had a lot of very vocal fans for the past several seasons mm-hmm. tell us they did not want it to be the way that it was, with a, you know, Final Four, winner take all at whatever the last race of the season happens to be. That's not what we're going to have this season. What will the conversation be once we get to that point? Will it be everybody saying, oh my gosh, we made the best decision ever, I love this format? Or will there be some alternating opinions?
Well, David Stiles just texted us a note. This takes out teams from even having a prayer. You
Absolutely.
Get so far behind early on.
Absolutely.
That, okay, what are we playing for?
Right.
Even if we go to Talladega and win.
Okay, so let me play, I don't know if devil's advocate's the right word here, but like, okay, so those teams, right? You get 10 races into the season, you get 15 races into the season, and you know, man, I am so far down in points. Like, the shot that I have of even being able to be consistent enough or gain enough points to work my way in, or to have the people that are in those positions fall down, is so low right now. All that matters for me is a win. You know
right.
what I mean? So
yeah.
In that situation, now you're reverting back to what it was before, where, okay, maybe we are going to take some, because, you know, making the chase isn't really in the cards for us anymore.
Yeah.
But we can make our sponsors happy, and we can make our team owners happy by getting to victory lane. So then you have some of that flip on its head,
yeah, like,
a little bit.
Like Austin Dillon
yeah.
can go to Richmond
right, exactly.
and win.
Exactly.
And that salvages something for the season. Doesn't get them to the playoffs, but hey, look, we can win.
Right.
Well, here's the other big problem is you already have the top team saying, unless we finish somewhere between fourth and sixth in the regular season standings, or if we finish outside of somewhere between fourth and sixth going into the chase, we don't have a shot at the championship. So why do we have 16 drivers make it
right.
now if you're only going to be able to win from the furthest back is six? So now they're managing that even more, because it's not about, yeah, we can make the chase, we can take a risk and make the chase, but my gosh, if we wind up being the number 8 seed going in, we don't have a shot at the title. That's literally what they're saying.
Yeah.
And that's not helping the situation.
It's unintended consequences.
Everything has
everything has that, and I think we're finding that out right now. I am not saying this is a bad system.
No,
it's just you want, you get. Okay, this has warts on it too.
I was going to say, I think the thing that we'll learn from this is not that it's a bad system, but that there is no perfect system.
Yeah, well said. Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin. What's going on there? We'll talk about that next.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Green flag, the Coca-Cola 600's underway.
This is a crown jewel race.
It's a 600-mile salute to those who have made the ultimate sacrifice.
It's do what we love because of the sacrifices that were made by our military heroes.
If you win this one, you'll carry it with you forever.
It's NASCAR's toughest test of man and machine.
It's the Coca-Cola 600 on Memorial Day weekend.
I'm Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solutions Center carries most of the top brands, and the great news is your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solutions Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. That's
800-396-0150. One of the great side stories of the last week or so has been a little bit of a feud between two-time champion Kyle Busch and, of course, Denny Hamlin. Denny talked about Kyle on his most recent edition of In His Podcast, and we'll play a clip from that, and then we'll also play you Kyle Busch's retort to it and get into, is this an accident that this happened? Is it just they're not hearing each other right, or were there really feelings bruised? Let's go ahead and hear from Denny.
Clearly, RCR is not good right now. It's time to be honest about what's going on. I think that he doesn't know how to get the speed out of the next-gen car on a consistent basis. There's been flashes of it. And when, yes, he won three races his first season at RCR, everyone was guessing. Everybody was guessing at that point. Look at any of the statistics of the dispersion of dots were on lap times in 2022 at any particular track. And look at that same track today in 2026. The whole field went from spread like this to like this. Everyone's so close now. It's a tough time right now. And I just, man, I hate seeing it. Kyle is a competitor who hates losing. I know it's eating at him alive how bad he's running every week.
All right, Brad Gillick, what did you hear in that clip? Also, I will say Denny heaps a lot of praise on Kyle during this whole ramble. There's a lot in his podcast there. And what's your takeaway there?
Honestly, I think Denny was being pretty objective. I don't think he was picking on Kyle or throwing shots at Kyle in any way, shape, or form. Now, when Kyle went over to Richard Childress Racing, it was 2023. That was the second year of the Gen 7 car. He won three races early in a car that the year prior, Tyler Reddick had also won three races in. But I do feel that Denny was giving an objective opinion. The problem is that what are you going to be? In that moment, Denny is a podcaster. Denny also happens to be a fellow competitor, and he also happens to be a team owner. So I think there are different repercussions than if you, me, and Alexis and Kyle Petty come on Fast Talk and say, hey, is this a Kyle problem or is this an RCR problem? It's a little bit different coming from a fellow competitor. And, you know, you can say you're a podcaster in the moment, but you're also all of these other things.
And Denny wants his show to be interesting.
Sure.
You can't just go on there and give platitudes. Now, I didn't feel like he was really, I'm going to be in the Brad Gillick court here. To me, it didn't feel like Denny was really taking a shot at Kyle. I feel like it was more directed at RCR.
Yeah, I mean, I did take a note down when I was listening to that. Denny says in there, I don't know if he knows how to get speed out of these next-gen cars. I'm going to make a note that says, I don't know if there's any speed to get out of those RCR cars. I mean, when you think about them as a team and what they have been able to do lately, I mean, yes, you have that, you know, kind of anomaly with Austin and Richmond, but that is what that is. It's an anomaly because that is not how they race on a weekly basis. And yes, I'm sure a lot of people think of Kyle Busch as being the caliber of driver that even if he is given subpar equipment can get more out of it than maybe somebody else could. But that only goes so far. So I do believe Denny was being in his conversation about that. I think he was trying to be fair and look at all sides of it. And if he's going to be a podcaster, that's a topic of conversation. We've talked about it on this show what's happening to Kyle Busch. I mean, it's relevant. It's a relevant topic for them to tackle on that show. But he does have to be ready and willing to take, you know, whatever, you know, comments Kyle Busch has to give back to that. Nobody knows exactly what's going on with Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch doesn't even know what's going on with Kyle Busch. But if you're in the media or you have a part to play in the media, you're going to speculate on that.
And you see him hop over to the Truck Series occasionally, or if the O'Reilly car, and all of a sudden he's competitive.
Sure.
So you can postulate from that. All right, he hasn't lost it. That the problem is the car that he's in the cockpit, not Kyle Busch. By the way, right now, Kyle Busch is 27th in points. His teammate, Austin Dillon, is 25th. So they are running in the same area code all the time. Let's go ahead and hear a little bit of Kyle Busch's response. I think this took place at the Kansas Media Center.
If Denny wants to switch cars, I'll switch cars with him any day of the week, anytime. I would love for him to show me that he can carry it better than I can.
You know, that's an interesting proposition. Yeah. I'd love to see that personally. Obviously, that's never going to happen. But I understand what he's saying there. You know what I mean? Like, it's easy for Denny, who's in, you know, great equipment at JGR, at Toyota, who is, you know, obviously at the top of the heap right now, and he's winning races and leading laps. And you know, Kyle's not in that same situation. So I can understand his frustration.
So, Brad, what is Kyle Busch saying there?
Kyle is saying that if Denny is not going to perform any better in this car than I'm performing, which I actually disagree with that. I think Denny is just at a different point. I'm not questioning Kyle's work or anything like that. You know, one of the things that Denny did say, I think it's this car that Kyle's not able to get the most out of. He had gone on to say he was really good about using, you know, the aero and the side draft in the old car that doesn't exist in this car, and he was successful with that. The reality is the last 3 years at Joe Gibbs Racing that Kyle was there, Denny won 11 races and Kyle won 4. And they were in the same equipment. So, you know, it shouldn't become a shouting contest of who's better in what, me or you. But that's what Kyle is effectively saying, is that Denny's going to be a 27th place driver in my car just like I am. I don't feel that that's reality, however.
I think it's interesting, though, because they were teammates for such a long time. Right. And we really don't know what the history is there. You know what I mean? From them, from a personal standpoint. And obviously, you know, Denny wasn't trying to attack Kyle. Kyle might feel like that was the case, but certainly not. But they have been teammates and competitors and racing against each other in this sport for a very long time.
And we know Kyle will finish out this year at RCR.
Yes.
What happens after that? Anybody's guess. I don't know where he's going to go that will be any better. There are people that say, oh, well, he could wind up in the 48 car over at Hendrick Motorsports if Alex Bowman doesn't get redone. I don't think that Rick Hendrick and that group and Chad Knaus are going to sign an aging Kyle Busch to one of their 4 premium rides. And I don't, that's not a dig on Kyle Busch. That's not their MO. They don't go out and get guys at the end of their careers. They get younger people and put them in there and let them mature.
Look, they had him at the beginning of his career, yeah, and it didn't work out. So I don't know that that's a, you know, a road they want to go down again.
Brad, thoughts on that? Where does he wind up? Or
I don't think he's there, but I think there could be a great possibility of Spire Motorsports.
Yeah.
You know, and I know people keep wanting to say the seven of Suarez. I don't understand that, because when Michael McDowell signed at Spire, he signed a 2-year deal, and this would be the second year of that. Like, I would think if there was a potential opening there, it would ultimately be in the number 71 car, but that's just thinking, you know. I'm not behind the scenes, and that's just putting puzzle pieces together.
Yeah.
But you're right. You got to find someplace better. The problem is where he is right now isn't working, and they've made several changes over the last few seasons behind the scenes.
Well, I was going to say, too, like, I understand there are contracts in place, mm-hmm, and all that, but contracts are made to be broken. A lot of people think that when the 48 car seat is vacated, a certain Carson Hocevar could be the first person in the running for that particular ride.
I'd like to see that.
I think that person's driving the number 17 in O'Reilly right now, and his name's Corey Day.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah, Hocevar signed at Spire into the 2030s now.
Well, and I get that. So. But again, like I said, contracts are sometimes made to be broken. You never know.
It's like speculating on the NFL draft.
Sure.
It doesn't happen until the team calls up the player and says, we're picking you.
Yeah.
So we don't know this. It's a fun game, and I'm glad there are pieces to be moved around this year. I will put out there, is Spire decidedly better than RCR?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just asking.
They're the second best Chevy team right now.
Yes.
And they're not a tier one Chevy team.
Yeah. Right.
How many wins they got?
Well, they don't have, well, total, they have one.
Yeah. One.
But performance wise, they're the second best team. They have two drivers that are in chase contention right now.
I know, but, you know.
I don't think we can look at the past. As far as like the dynasty that was RCR at one point.
And how
many wins they
had.
That
is long
to
ago
how many
and
wins.
Far away.
We can only, it's what have you done for me lately? And when you're looking at what have you done for me lately, I would say that Spire has done more.
Oh, I RCR. Agree. I was just,
yeah, the Cowboys have won, what, 5 Super Bowls?
In what century?
Right.
Thank you. That's the same point that Alexis is making.
Yeah, you can go down there. There's a lot of trophies, but not from.
It's like my poor Phillies. You know, they once were good. They are not right now.
That's the same baseball team that got swept by the Braves this past weekend in Philly.
It is.
I'm paying any attention. Oh,
congratulations, Doug.
Yeah.
It made me feel good. We got to take a timeout. We'll be right back.
Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at crazy low prices. They have access to great prices and discounts at over 500 different airlines. Plus 300,000 hotels and rental car companies. Their prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find the best price for you. Call SmartFares today and get ready to see the world with a fat wallet.
800-603-6298. 800-603-6298. 800-603-6298. That's 800-603-6298.
I'm Kyle Busch, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
I'm Andrew Kurland, along with David Stiles, here to give you the latest NASCAR news and opinions each weekday on PRN's Garage Pass. You'll hear everything from race recaps to feature stories, industry news, and chatter from around the garage.
I just think it's interesting to see kind of what your heart rate does in moments of calm, or, you know, when things start to ramp up and how quickly it can kind of recover from that.
With Garage Pass, you won't miss a moment from green to checkered flag.
Victory Junction is a year-round camp for children with chronic and life-threatening illnesses and serious medical needs.
we'll see 120 kids with spina bifida, 120 kids with craniofacial disorders, 120 kids who have diabetes or who have asthma from 6 to 16 years old. It empowers them to just be the kids that they are that week. Not their disease, not their illness, they're just a kid. If you know a child that can benefit from Victory Junction, we'll do everything in our power to make sure that child comes to camp.
Welcome back to Fast Talk. Coming up shortly, a little green flag, black flag action. But Brad, I want to touch on this topic, which is going to get a lot of chatter as this week moves on. We're headed down to Talladega Super Speedway. I always feel like that's must-see TV for me. I don't record that one and look at it later. I have to watch those races live. But lately, we have seen the races at Talladega and Daytona turn into this fuel conservation situation where people are riding around half throttle. And that's not speculation. You can see the data. That's how it plays out. NASCAR's toying with their own formula now, and they've changed the stages, and they're going to make – they're flip-flopping stages, basically. The big, long stages are going to be at the front of the race, and the back end of the race is going to be shorter in an attempt to get people away from fuel conservation. Your thoughts on that?
They should also do it on road courses, by the way, which I've been kind of screaming for since stage racing, that we should only have a single fuel run stage at the end of these races. Now, a couple of things. Number one, NASCAR is actually going to do preseason testing at Daytona. They're going to work on more than just changing stage lengths. They're going to work on things in the race car to discourage fuel savings. By the way, the fuel savings at Talladega, Daytona, those started happening before the Gen 7 race car came out. So this is not just a Gen 7 problem. This is a crew chiefs have figured out a lot, and the time you spend on pit road and needing that track position and something like that. Here's the other thing. Be careful what you wish for. Like we talked earlier, maybe there are some unintended consequences with the chase. Well, guess what? With fuel savings, we saw a 3-wide, 180-mile-per-hour bumper-to-bumper traffic jam. Now we might see them all run single file at the top at 200 miles per hour while we just sort of wait out them saving some fuel and waiting out the laps, because we are on the edge of a fuel window and we have a great opportunity for overtime restarts. The optimistic side of me says the shortest stage of the race, the final one, might actually be the longest. The other side of me says be careful what you wish for. You might get something different.
Because we had that before at Daytona and Talladega. To Brad's credit, Alexis, big long line, 30 cars, single file,
riding around
the top of the racetrack.
Yeah.
And at least now, the fuel saving ride around is a
it
little more
cool.
attractive.
It does
look cool.
A little more attractive. You're right. I mean, who knows what we're going to see? I mean, exactly like Brad said, unintended consequences, those pesky crew chiefs, getting in there, figuring things out and making it interesting for us fans. You know, the thing I think about is like, okay, well, what if we just got rid, like we still, you know, stage points aren't really a thing anymore. So the stages really are just... Or, well, they are, but,
yes.
You know, when you're talking about, winning and all that, but it's like if you just kept going, like, don't stop the race. You know what I mean? You still right. award the stage points, but you don't have a caution. I know we want those cautions for television and for radio, and it's a time to get restarts and all that, but that could potentially help as well if you're not throwing the caution. I know that's not something they're looking at doing right now, but potentially.
By the way, when you mentioned cautions in television, it's always a multi-screen experience.
Yeah.
I'm usually watching something on my phone. I've got my tablet up and I'm watching television.
Right.
Sometimes I'm listening to PRN and watching television at the same time. And yesterday, Fox ran a commercial, full screen commercial during the race, as they have been doing and networks have been doing time immemorial. And my Twitter X feed blows up, Brad. Oh, they ran a commercial. When did this become the thing that you have to have a split screen? Yes, it's preferable, but we have been having commercials within races for as long as I can remember. And it never was this big human explosion of emotion because somebody missed 60 seconds the race.
I think that is a very vocal minority. Yeah, I mean, look, you don't want to interrupt the action, but we also have to understand why we have commercials. And the fact that on network television, as in Fox yesterday, you weren't paying anything to watch that race. And they still generously gave you a lot of side-by-side commercial action. It is a reality. When you are actually on the big network, you also have to serve the local affiliate and allow them their time. They don't want to do split screen. It's just, I mean, it's just the reality of it. But it's part of it. Yeah. To your point, this has been this way ever since I've been alive, and I'm 55.
Well, I'm decidedly older, and it happens. And that's, you know, when, as we cover the races on radio, and Alexis, you've been there, and Brad's been there 1,000 times. So there's times that we put off running the commercial until this battle is over. But then you get behind, mm-hmm. and you pay the price a little bit later on in the broadcast.
And
stop overreacting a little bit.
And, oh, by the way, whenever that commercial ran, as long as it wasn't in, like, the last 5 laps, they didn't miss much.
No. Yeah, were we going to miss Denny Hamlin leading right. 3 more laps?
Like,
yeah.
I mean, there wasn't anything that was crucial that we had to stay with, you know, the broadcast
for. No, when they came back, Kyle Larson was still leading by 3 seconds.
That's the thing. You know what I mean? Like, and I think at the network's discretion, they can say, okay, and we do that at our discretion. Brad does. When you were in the booth, you did that exactly like you said. Hold the commercial for, you know, there to be less activity on the track, things like that. And we do that. But yesterday wasn't one of those days you had to worry too much about it.
And as you pointed out accurately, the stage breaks give the networks, both the radio and the TV networks, a place to put commercials that doesn't take away from any of the action.
And look, I'm not saying take away the actual caution on the track for the stage breaks at all the races. I'm just saying if we have unintended consequences this weekend with changing the stage lengths, and we still are trying to figure out how to get these super speedway races, and to Brad's point, the road course races as well, which is a very small, when you think about it, portion of our schedule. Mm-hmm. You know, I have heard people say, because you're not getting that playoff point that you used to get and all that, I have heard people say that you just let it go. You know, just don't throw the yellow. Award the points as they run at the end of that scheduled stage, but don't throw the caution. And that could potentially help when you're talking about fuel savings and strategy and all of those things.
It just kind of blew my mind. I'm thinking, where are all the unused playoff points?
Yeah. You know, they wouldn't be used for the chase, though. But look, and we tried that, by the way, on road courses. And in that off season, the best decision NASCAR made was to not throw cautions during stage breaks for road courses. The second best decision they made was that by the time they got to the end of the season, they added the cautions back into the end of stages.
Yeah.
There is no panacea. There's a consequence to be paid with every action that you make. Coming up, we'll do a little green flag, black flag.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
This is PRN's Alexis Erickson, and if your life looks anything like mine, you are always on the go. So take advantage of the PRN mobile app. By downloading the mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast while you're on the go, making sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. You also get station listings and on-demand access to your favorite PRN shows like Garage Pass, PRN's At the Track, and Fast Talk with Doug Rice, Brad Gilley, and myself. Get the latest racing information at your fingertips by downloading the PRN mobile app today. Available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
I'm Joey Logano, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
I'm David Stiles, and each weekday, Andrew Kurland and I bring you the biggest stories from the garage on our daily show, Garage Pass.
I finally got onto a smooth road and just did one of those knotters and woke up tumbling, you know, out through the middle of the desert, and we had literally a vehicle that would move down the race course and chase you. Well, our chase truck got into a fender bender in a small little town, and the guys got locked up in jail.
That's PRN's Garage Pass right here.
Hey, race fans, we can't wait to see you right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway for a wicked fast, wicked fun weekend this August as we host New England's only NASCAR Cup Series weekend. Live performances, driver appearances. Don't forget to keep an eye on NHMS.com as we count down to New England's only NASCAR Cup weekend, August 21st through the 23rd, right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway, New England's big track, where it's always about family, friends, and fun.
Thanks so much for tuning in. By the way, PRN, it has a lot going on in the social media world, and all three of us have our own accounts on X. If you want to reach out to us, we're real easy to find. So if you hear things on the show that you want to chat about, or you disagree, or even better, if you agree,
yeah,
you can reach us.
Or you want to send me a tweet about how I totally forgot that we had already done races without,
That's all right. Hey, it comes up.
Please do
so. She got her first tweet last week from a fan saying, "You missed this."
Look.
That's welcome to the frat.
Yeah.
That happens every day.
I have what I like to refer to as mom brain. You know, sometimes things, I have to have things in here and other things just fall out. It happens. What are you going to do? You know? There's only so much room.
You
in
only
there.
Have so much room mm-hmm. to store that knowledge.
Yep.
And occasionally it spills over the side.
I am always so impressed with Brad. And I think it's probably because of the fact that you are immersed in this 24/7. This is the only show I do every week. You do like a show every single day that involves motorsports and NASCAR and the world of NASCAR. But the things that you can recall from years ago, like, oh yeah, that guy won at this racetrack, or he had five top fives that year, or it was 2023 when Kyle Busch won those three races in the, you know, in the next gen car. That does not happen in my brain.
But the weird thing is, I have to sit there and think about who won Saturday's race at Kansas.
Yeah.
3 years from now,
you'll
I'll
remember
give you all the details of that.
You'll remember. Well,
I had that thing that Brad talked about flying back on the plane from a race that we broadcast on Monday, and I have to think,
who won
Logano?
Right?
No.
Yeah.
Somebody. You know, and that's weird that happens. I will confess, I did not see one nanosecond of the O'Reilly race from Kansas. I was at Myrtle Beach with a buddy of mine, and we played golf for 2 days, and I turned the work brain off.
So it's funny, I saw a little bit of it from my concert seat at Bank of America Stadium where I went to go see Zach Bryan this past weekend. We got a text message that Carson Quapple had ended up on his roof. And so, you know, my husband and I are going we're going through the Twitter
poll
feed.
Poll winner.
Yeah. Yep, going through the Twitter feed to see this, you know, what was an incredible crash, and luckily he was okay. But yeah, I mean, that just shows you technology. We're sitting in our seats getting ready to take in this concert. We get a text from somebody that this happened, and we're like, oh, we got to see it. And immediately we saw the clip of it on social media.
It's incredible.
It really is.
And people will say, I watched the race on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And you can almost do it.
Yeah.
With all of the
certainly
with all the highlights and stuff that come about, you can just about do that. Let's do a little green flag, black flag action, David Stiles.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
All right, here we go. It's your favorite NASCAR game show where our fabulous writers who spent many, many minutes trying to figure out what their statements would be will submit them to the panel, and the panel will pontificate on them. And if they agree with it, they will give it a green flag. If they disagree, they will give it a black flag. All right, I think we all know the rules. We'll start with Alexis. Hold on, got to figure out which one. There we go. Kyle Busch would not outperform Denny Hamlin in the 11 car.
Yeah, I'm going to say black flag. I don't think he would outperform him, but I think Kyle Busch would outperform Kyle Busch in the 8 car, in the 11 car. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Doug Rice.
I'm going to just echo what Alexis said. I agree totally with what she just put out there.
All right, Brad Gilley.
I will say green flag. Kyle Busch would not outperform Denny in the 11 right now. And I think Denny would outperform Kyle in the 8.
Interesting.
I think Denny is in a better groove right now than Kyle Busch.
Yeah. That's the best way to put it. Best way to put it.
All right, Doug Rice. Tyler Reddick will get double-digit wins this season.
I don't want to, but I'm going to give that a green flag. I can't argue with the guy. He's won 5 of 9, and we got a lot of races left to go, and I think he can win 5 more.
Brad Gilley?
I will say green flag, and Alexis, this goes back to the wacky thing. Dale Earnhardt, when he did this feat last by winning at least 5 of the first 9, he actually won 6 of the first 8 in 1987. He went on to win 11 races that year.
Oh, my goodness. See, I could, first of all, 1987, let's see, I was 3. So
I'm just kidding. Were you in here in 1987?
I was here. So I should not be expected to have remembered that. Yeah, I'm going to say green flag. I mean, look, like he's already won more than half of the races, 9 races into the season. Like, yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think he can do it.
All right, Brad. Speaking of winners, we will see a new winner this weekend in Talladega.
Green flag. Green flag. Too many people are looking at this as an opportunity, and I'll go ahead and make my Joey Logano prediction right now because it seems like that might be his best opportunity this year, period.
Alexis?
Yeah, I'm going to say green flag, but I'm going to pick a different Penske car. I'm going to say Austin Cindric.
Nice.
Yeah, he's been having an okay. You know, he has been better this season, sometimes like yesterday, even better than the rest of his teammates, and he knows a thing or two about how to race on super speedways.
Where is my man Joey Logano?
He's dropping in the standings.
MIA. He is missing in action right now. And it's weird.
It is weird.
And it's not like fluke. He hits the wall and comes home 33rd. He just runs in 33rd.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that one's hard to explain. This guy's a 3-time champion.
I agree.
Will we have a new winner? Yeah, let's go with that.
Who will it be?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah. Who's it going to be? Wow. Nobody's jumping off the page. Bubba Wallace.
Okay. Yeah.
Bubba's running decent this year, and he wants to have Michael Jordan come out and
hug on him. Yeah, I think he's probably, maybe feeling
some
type way.
Why was Michael Jordan trying to choke Denny Hamlin after the race? Did you see those photos? Did you see those big hands around his neck? That was scary.
It sounded like there was a lot of trash talking that goes on between them,
depending
on who wins. And I could see Jordan whispering in his ear.
Yeah.
Hey, here's another one we took from you.
Yeah. Didn't look very happy.
Look, I think Michael Jordan's probably one of the biggest trash talkers of all time. So,
I have no doubt about that.
Yeah.
No doubt.
All right, Alexis, speaking of 2311, should they be considered in the conversations for the big three?
Oh, man. I'm going to say green flag. I mean, we talked about just a little while ago about how it's what have you done for me lately. You don't go back and look at what has happened in prior seasons. And right now, when you're talking about one team that has more wins than anybody else, you have to consider them as part of the big three for sure.
Doug Rice?
They're kind of Joe Gibbs Racing adjuncts anyway.
But they're...
Yes. I mean, they really are. But I would say that they as a group may have edged ahead of Penske this year.
Right. And that's kind of the question,
level,
right?
And that would push Penske out of the big three and put Gibbs up there.
Right.
Brad,
I'll say green flag. I will. You can't deny what they're doing. And, you know, when 4 cars finish in the top 15 at Kansas from 2311, that's impressive.
So I know that we've had big three. This is just a question in general for the panel. Is there room to have 4, or are we just limited to 3 big teams?
Well, that's an interesting question because typically, and Kyle Petty has said this a number of times on the show, when you're talking about the big three, it's because there's 3 manufacturers, and you're usually talking about whoever that team is that gets the most manufacturer support is at the head of the big three. And in this case, if we're all to be listened to, then you've got 2 Toyota teams and 1 Chevrolet team with Ford on the outside looking in. So I would say certainly. There could be if you're going to mix up the manufacturers amongst the big three, but we've just always talked about the big three. It's just always been the number 3.
Hey, it could be 2, could be 1, could be 5.
I think 3 is the max number. Humpy Wheeler always used to talk about drivers and three or four was all he said at one time could be at the top of the heap. He said, because once you get past four, it gets watered down.
Yeah.
So
I like that.
I don't think we need to water that down. All right, coming up, a little one last thing.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system. Keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at ZMAX.com or follow us on Facebook and X.
What makes Toyota Racing, Toyota Racing? It's not just how we drive, it's why we drive. Bubba Wallace drives with resilience, building himself back up with a Toyota team that never lets him stay down. Jade Avedisian drives with determination to be faster, sharper, every lap, every day. Christopher Bell drives with inspiration, because when talent meets the perfect team, you don't just win, you inspire what comes next. Toyota Racing, your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
This is Christopher Bell, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
This is PRN's Alexis Erickson, and if your life looks anything like mine, you are always on the go. So take advantage of the PRN mobile app. By downloading the mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast while you're on the go, making sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. You also get station listings and on-demand access to your favorite PRN shows like Garage Pass, PRN's At the Track, and Fast Talk with Doug Rice, Brad Gilley, and myself. Get the latest racing information at your fingertips by downloading the PRN mobile app today. Available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
When NASCAR hits Dover Motor Speedway, get ready for all-star intensity at the Monster Mile, May 15th through 17th. See the sport's biggest names battle it out. It's more than a race, concerts, autograph sessions, tailgates, and nonstop action all weekend long. Experience NASCAR the way it's meant to be, live and in person at Dover. Get your tickets now at DoverMotorSpeedway.com. That's DoverMotorSpeedway.com.
We greatly appreciate David Stiles being at the helm of the show today. Just can't tell you how much fun and how much I look forward to doing the show each week. It is one of the highlights of the week. We come in here, we have a good time, we try to be semi-serious about something and be a little bit different than what you may take in from other outlets, and hopefully we do that. Let's do this right now.
One last thing.
Brad Gilley, what you got for us?
All right, I was looking at some Talladega stats, and in eight races of the Gen 7 car at Talladega, we have not had a single repeat winner. Chastain, Chase Elliott, Kyle Busch, Ryan Blaney, Tyler Reddick, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Austin Cindric, Chase Briscoe, the last eight winners. Could that hold true? Here's another one. In the last six, we've had Chevrolet, Ford, Toyota, Chevrolet, Ford, Toyota in victory lane in that order. I guess it's Chevy's turn to win on Sunday.
Excellent.
Interesting. Well, I got an email this morning, and I had totally forgotten that this weekend in Charlotte, North Carolina, is the NHRA Four Wides here at Z-Max Dragway, which I think is going to be an amazing event. If you're in the Charlotte area and you have the opportunity to come out, please do so. I was just looking up the weather because I also think it's going to be a beautiful weekend here in the Carolinas. And if you've never been to a drag race at all, then, you know, you've got to go to at least one and experience it. But if you've never been to one where it's four wide, then that is on another level. I mean, like, literally, and I know we've talked about it on the show before, but, like, shake your bones crazy when you see those.
The Z-Max Dragway is less than a mile from where we are right now in the studio.
Maybe a half mile.
And when they run the four wide, I'm not imagining this, you can feel it.
You can.
Yes.
I mean, even the sound concussion from those cars, if you're standing outside this building, you can feel it. a half mile away.
I've always said, like, when they're over there testing and I'm in Smith Tower, which is the big office building that's connected to the oval track here at Charlotte Motor Speedway, it sounds like beluga whales. Like, it's just like the way that it sounds is like, oh, if you were awesome. Out in the middle of the ocean and just heard, like, you know, this giant whale call. It really does. It's amazing.
It is incredible. That's a great one to bring up, because if you can't make it down to Talladega, drop off at C-Max Dragway and catch the 4-wide. For Brad Gilley and Alexis Erickson, keep it between the navigational beacons.
Between the buoys, I got it.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at toyotaracingusa.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.